Chapter 85, Jack 13. Jack Sonson Valano, truthless of Shinovar, stood from his table. The mission was a failure. Avan's spies in the city had informed the king of the upcoming feast, and he had sent Jack to spy on Dalinar and Yasna. Jack was supposed to have gathered what information he could, particularly about their battle plans, by placing himself close to the lord's table and eavesdropping on the conversations. Obviously, Avan hadn't understood what kind of feast it was to be. Jack could barely hear men at his own table, let alone those at the lord's table. In order to overhear what Lord Dalinar or Lady Yasna were saying, Jack would practically have had to stand behind their chairs. His internal sense of scope, the thing that kept him from taking outrageous risks lest he get himself killed and fail in his service, whispered that even coming to this feast had been a foolhardy act. His connection to Avan was well known in the Vaden camps. If his description reached the Aleth and someone made a connection... But he could only do as his master commanded. He had come. However, there would be no report. He had heard nothing of particular interest. Lord Dalinar didn't even want to be at the feast. It was unlikely he would discuss any of his battle plans with the infamously negligent Lord Intara. Jack made his way toward the room's exit. Avan would not be pleased. The Vaden King had asked Jack to take special notice of the songs the various lords requested of the feast's balladesses. However, there were no ballads being sung, or rather, there were 10 sets of them being sung, all by separate minstrels or performers who stood beside individual tables. Jack couldn't distinguish one song from the next. He would be able to provide no clues of personality for Avan to pick apart and analyze. Jack paused by the door, giving the feast hall one final glance before retreating, and at that moment he saw something that nearly made his heart stop. Standing at the lord's table, wearing servant's clothing and pouring wine for the important men of Alethkar, stood Avan Vaidenel. Jack stood frozen by the door, watching the king with stunned eyes. No one in the room was paying Avan any attention except to demand more wine, and Avan did as requested, moving with the alacrity of a trained servant, keeping his head down and his posture slumped, though he did keep his eyes up, watching lips as he moved.
"It's a good thing the room is so noisy," Jack thought. "He'll have an excuse as to why he didn't hear those who call for wine." It was ridiculous. It was foolhardy. It was insane. But there he was, moving to Lord Dalinar's side and refilling the Aleth King's own goblet.
And yet, as Jack watched, he realized that it would have taken quite a fluke for someone who didn't know Avan personally to connect this subservient wine-pourer with the idiot king of Vaidenar. Avan did an admirable job of disguising himself, both in appearance and in posture. And, this close to Prala, with its less uniform breeding stock, a man with red hair was not so unusual as one would be in central Alethkar.
"He spent 30 years passing himself off as an idiot," Jack thought. "He knows a few things about disguise."
The king's idiot facade, then, had been flawless enough to fool even Jack, who had training from the finest Shin masters. Even still, coming to Teth Kanar was a foolish move. Avan's army was still a couple hours' march from the city. If the king happened to be recognized, or somehow got into trouble... Avan looked up as he poured, noticing Jack, and nodded toward the doorway with a covert gesture. Jack stepped outside and sought a shadowed alcove. Avan joined him a few minutes later. Jack stood for a moment, uncertain how to begin. Avan, however, was at no loss for words.
"She's here," the king said with intensity. "I had to be certain."
"Who?"
Jack asked.
"Yasna Kolin," Avan said with a soft, concerned voice.
Jack frowned, and he had to catch the king's attention again before speaking.
"What is it about that woman that frightens you so?" he said. "You've been unnaturally fixated upon her ever since this campaign began."
Avan paused.
The seers told me that either I would destroy her or she would destroy me, he said, glancing toward the feast chamber. She worried me even before that, assassin. The woman is crafty. Without her, there would be no Alethkar as we know it today. She was the force behind her father's throne, the true reason for his victories. She was the only thing that kept that fool Elokar from making a disaster of his Pralir campaign. Dalinar I can face. The man Meridas I can defeat. Yasna Kolin. She troubles me.
Troubles you enough to get yourself captured? Jack asked pointedly. Why did you come to Tethkanar? You sent me to be your eyes.
Avan shook his head.
You cannot see as I can, assassin. You cannot hear as I hear.
There is nothing to hear, Jack said. No ballads were played this evening.
Ah, but that is not true, Avan corrected. There are minstrels aplenty, each one seeking recognition from a lord or lady to further their career. Those with courage approach the lord's table and ask if they may play a song. Dalinar himself has been forced to request two this evening.
Jack frowned.
Avan has been here that long? Why didn't I notice him before?
But songs aren't the only way, Avan continued. No, they are just one sign. Watch a man. Watch how he reacts, what decisions he makes, and you will know him. What does he think of this feast? Does he find it too loud, or does he enjoy himself? How does he deal with the battle on the morrow, and the knowledge that he is outnumbered? That will affect how he leads his men. These are the things I must know, for tomorrow will be vital. I will face Yasna Kolin, and regardless of the armies and shard-bearers, she and I will be the ones who battle.
Jack's frown deepened. Avan had an over-inflated view of one person's place in events. Perhaps it was because he thought himself so influential. The king made it sound as if none of the other warriors had anything to do with victory and loss. If that were the case, then what was the purpose of having a larger army than one's foe?
I must return, Avan said, holding up the wine pitcher again. I am playing the role of a simpleton from Rimac, taken in by Dalinar's army as a refugee. There are so many strangers in the city that the palace cooks were willing to accept my story. They are short-handed. Intara throws many feasts, but this one is extravagant, even for him.
Jack paused. His oath prompted him to speak.
I suggest that you let me go back, and you return to camp. This is too dangerous.
Avan shook his head.
No, I must send some of the minstrels to Lady Yasna. I have to watch her, read her lips, study her. Something is different about the woman. She has changed since I last studied her. If I don't understand what happened to her, I will lose the battle. Of this I am certain.
He didn't wait for further argument. Jack sighed, waiting a few moments, then returned to the feast chamber. He took his previous seat, a place at a table of medium-ranked lords. Aleths weren't certain how to treat Shins. The Kanaran system of nobility was so stratified that it made them uncomfortable to deal with those who had no quantifiable rank. So most of them just considered Alshin to be somewhere above citizens but beneath lords. Posing as a very wealthy merchant, Jack could safely place himself with a lesser nobility without drawing too much attention. He watched uncomfortably from the corner of his eye as Avan continued his act. The king hovered between Yasna and Dalinar's tables, his eyes darting from side to side, and Jack realized that in this environment, Avan was the perfect spy. Within the cacophony, men would likely feel at ease speaking their minds, confident that no one would hear. But, as Avan had said, others did not hear as he did. He could read their lips from a goodly distance away, piecing together conversations far too quiet for another man to overhear. As Jack watched, minstrels did indeed approach Lady Yasna, and some even stayed to perform, though how they expected to distinguish themselves among the sounds of other players, Jack did not know. Only once did Jack consider betraying Ovan. It was a shameful thought, but it was born of a seed Ovan himself had planted. The war could be stopped with a single covert meeting. If he went to King Dalinar and told of what he knew, Ovan would be captured, punished, his armies sent home. But no. Jack's fallen honor, the memory of promises he had made before his truth was taken, was all he had. The Holatental knew best, and they had commanded him to this action, to atone, and to sin. It was a long, uncomfortable evening. Eventually, Dalinar and Yasna both retired, off to their camp to prepare for the next day's battle. Ovan disappeared into the kitchens a few moments later. Jack found the king again on the outskirts of town. The gates were still open. With so many men passing from the city to military camps outside, it would have been impractical to close the city. The two men walked quietly until they were well outside of the city and had retrieved their separate horses. "Did you find what you needed?" Jack finally asked. Ovan frowned.
"I'm not sure," he said. "You will know tomorrow evening. By then, either Yasna or I will be dead."